Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, truly blessed to be with you this morning. And the word that God gave me was, do not cease to give thanks. Tell God every day, Lord, I'm thankful that you gave me another day. I'm grateful that I'm blessed to be a child of the Most High God. We got to praise the Lord, and we got to praise him every day. As we move forward in the word this morning, let us just take a minute just to say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for another day. Heavenly Father God, I come to you this morning, thankful and blessed and grateful, God, that you gave me another day. I give thanks to you that you gave me a great week and vacation, Lord God. It has been so peaceful. And all I can say is thank you. Thank you for my children. Thank you for my family. Thank you, Lord God, for keeping my granddaughter safe. As a gunman came into a building, she had already gotten hurt. I thank you, God, for just blessing those that have survived violence in this world, the craziness of people wanting to do wrong. Father God, I ask your blessing over the church services today, over my church service at the table, God. I pray that you give a rhema word to the pastor that's preaching. I ask you, Lord God, to just guide and lead all of us in the way we should go. And Lord, I thank you for this retreat, this woman's ministry, this children's conference on last night. On Friday night, it was wonderful, God. Children, watching children participate. A young minister preaching a word, a Jabez word, but preaching it in a way that children could understand it. Oh, God, I just thank you for yesterday and the women that went forth on financial literacy, went forth on parenting, went forth on depression and stress, who went forth, God, and allowed the Holy Spirit to come in and take over. It was like rain, oh God. It was like the fiery rain of Pentecost. And all I could say is thank you. Thank you for my pastor, Lord God, who was kind enough to rent a car for us to ride in to do what we needed to do. I thank you for her and ask your blessings over her as well, God. Father God, I'm just saying thank you this morning. Thank you for just being who you are, awesome and gracious and mighty in power and goodness. And Lord God, I thank you that you have given us Mother Valerie, who goes forth Monday through Friday, God. We thank you for her, God, and thank you for the blessing of her. And I ask you to continue watching over her and to give her the desire of her heart, God. For you know what it is. In Jesus' name, Lord, I lift up this mighty word, asking you as always to increase as your daughter decreases. For you are my strength and you are my redeemer, O Lord. In this I praise you, I give you thanks. And I have no qualms about saying hallelujah to the Most High God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for just being awesome and mighty. In Jesus' name, amen. Who giving honor to God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. He gets the glory this morning. And I give thanks to him for just waking me up, because somebody did not wake up this morning. thanking him for everything that he has done for me. Jesus' name, I thank him for everything he has done for my children and my children's children. Just thanking God, whew, for a church family that prays together, that laughs, that loves, that has that peace and that joy. Lord God, we thank you for it. And as we get ready to go in, as we start our anniversary month today, may the blessings of Abraham, oh, an increase of Jabez, bless the church and its ministries and its members, that no one will ever go in lack again. In Jesus' name. Oh, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Good morning. Good morning again, everybody. We are, cannot believe, on the first day of October. Shout out to Apostle Whiting, whose birthday it is today and who we will be celebrating this evening. Shout out to her. And again, I just want to thank her for a wonderful hospitality as we have come to this place. It has been extraordinary. Just wonderful. And all I can say is thank you. And this morning we will be starting in the 112th Psalm, starting at verse 1 through verse 4. We'll be in Proverbs chapter 26, starting at verse 13 through verse 15, actually starting at verse 13. And we will be starting a new book of the Bible. Say, yay, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. We will be starting in Ephesians this morning. And I do have my What the Bible Says. Got to know your Bible, y'all. We got to know our Bible. So let's get started this morning. And it says in the Psalms, 112 Psalms, starting at verse 1. Praise the Lord. Can y'all say that with me? Praise the Lord. And you get just one more for the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandment. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteousness. I got to say that again. He is unto the upright. There arises light in the darkness. He, God, is gracious and full of compassion and righteousness. God is full of compassion and righteousness. Why? Because he loves us. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. What a mighty God. He will not be afraid. Our God will not be afraid. 113th Psalm, verses 1 through 4. Praise the Lord again, y'all. Praise the Lord, O servant of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the man of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, his glory above the nations. You know, and I love, we sing this song And the Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. You know, and then to give God the highest praise, acknowledge him always. And I was like, wow, let all the people say, hallelujah. What an awesome God. But I've just got to read this again. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. From this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its going down. The Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations. His glory above the heavens. And I have just read to you the 112th Psalm, verses 1 through 10, and the 113th Psalm, verses 1 through 4, and a proverb for this morning is the 26th proverb, verses starting at verse 13. And it says, the lazy man says, there is a lion in the road, a fierce lion in the street. As the door turns on its hinges, so does the lazy man on his bed. The lazy man buries his hand in the bowl. It wearies him to bring it back to his mouth. In other words, he will starve with his hand in the food, because he's too lazy to eat. Come on now. The lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than the seven men who can answer sensibly. He who passes by and meddles in a quarrel is quarrel not his own. It's like one who takes a dog by the ear. And I'm going to say this, you're going to get bit. Don't meddle in anybody else's business. If a quarrel is going on, you better let that quarrel go on and get out of the way, because they will turn on you. And that's just like a dog. You grab a dog by his ear, I don't care how friendly he is, he is going to bite you. And you will deserve it for grabbing him by his ear. And it goes on to tell us here, it says, like a madman who throws firebrands, hells and death, it's a man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. You know, you start mad and then, I'm sorry, I was just kidding. You know, when it ruins somebody's reputation, talks about them like a dog, and then want to smile and say, I was just kidding. I'm sorry. No, you're not sorry. And no, you weren't just joking. He was trying to start a mess, and then got caught up. We got to be careful. Don't be hanging out with messy people. Messy people will get you in all kind of trouble. They will have you going from here to there and everywhere, and the next thing you know, you caught up in something that you don't want to be caught up in. With people you don't want to be caught up in it with. You know, folks will have you homeless because they done messed up and then said things they shouldn't have said and done things they shouldn't have said. And we wonder why things are going on. We got to be careful. Be careful who you keep company with. Be careful what you do. Don't open your mouth and put it on people. We've got to treat each other with love. Treat each other with the kindness that can only come from God. We've got to love one another. That's what the Word of God says. We love you one another. And love your neighbor as yourself. I can't say I love God and hate you. I can't do it, because then I am a hypocrite. I can't say that. You are my best friend, and then I go out and talk about you like a dog. We've got to treat each other with kindness. We've got to treat each other with love, and we cannot cease thanking God for another day, thanking God for just being who he is. Awesome and mighty is our God. And we need to make things right with him. And as we go into our New Testament this morning, we will be starting in Ephesians chapter 1. And I just want to give an overview of the book of Ephesians, just so everybody is on the same page. Ephesians was authored by the Apostle Paul. It dated to AD 62, towards the end of Paul's life. In 10 words or less, Christians are all members of Jesus' body, the church. Can I say it again? Christians are all members of Jesus' body, the church. We're all members of the church. We are members of the church because we believe in Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And as we go to the details, please. Since Paul had started the church in Ephesus, Acts 19, and now explains in detail the church members' relationship to Jesus Christ, so that they may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. 4:15, through Jesus Christ, God has reconciled both Jews and Gentiles to himself. The new life should result in pure, honest living in the church and in the home. Isn't it? Pure, honest living in the church and in the home. Chapters 4-6. Some quotables from Ephesians. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that was verse 2 through 8. And then as we go into one of my favorite chapters, which is chapter 6 of Ephesians, says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What a word all by itself. And we got to take those words to heart. This new life should result in pure, honest living to the best. Ooh, what a word, what a word. And I just have to ask you to thank you, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And the devil is busy. And since Paul tells servants, slaves in today's language, to be obedient to them that are your masters. Why? Because God will reward such behavior. And understand that God is the one that set the captives free. Because God saw the brutality of man and set his children free. And that's been slavery all over this world. God is the one that set my ancestors free. God is the one that gave them land. God is the one that helped them to build. And now God is the one that is keeping us awake this morning. And it says, and so what in this word? It says, in him, Jesus, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And that is our title from this morning. It's coming out of chapter 2 of Ephesians. Do not cease to give praise. And we don't want to cease giving God praise, because the praises of righteous. The righteous avail much. We want to avail much for the Lord, not for ourselves, but for God, who loves us more than we can ever imagine or think. And as we go into our New Testament, and again, I thank you for listening this morning because I know I'm a little hoarse. Probably quite a little bit hoarse because the air is different here in Arizona than it is in Illinois where I live. So I'm dealing with a little bit of congestion, but I know that I know I am okay, and I thank God for it. So let's get your Bibles, go to with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. And all I can say is, can y'all say it with me? Hallelujah. Lord, we praise you. We give you thanks. Hallelujah. And it says in the word, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus, and multitude and faithful in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to read that again. To the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose in him before the foundation of the world that we would be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons of Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Ooh, what a word. In him, we have redemption, blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ himself should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Therefore, I also heard your faith in the Lord, and the Lord Jesus, and your love for all the saints. Do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Can I go back there and say it again? Therefore, also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not, can you say it with me, cease to give thanks for you, the mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to one. May give to you in the spirit of wisdom and revelation, in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Ooh, what a word this morning. Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all devices, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in the age but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet, gave him to his head over the things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills him all in all. And please forgive my reading this morning. I am a little tired. There is a time difference where I am this morning. It's like 5 a.m. compared to your 7. So I'm a 2-hour lag in the getting up and the getting moving. Tell you, I'm going to keep doing what I do for God, because God has never ceased to do what he does for me. Hallelujah. I love God, and I just give him thanks this morning. And as we go back to Ephesians chapter 1, and we go to verse number 3. It says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And Dr. Stanley tells us in the study Bible, God is not stingy when it comes to borrowing his blessing. I'm sorry, let me start that over. God is not stingy when it comes to bestowing his blessings on his much-loved children. He has already given us every opportunity and every spiritual blessing, securing them for us in heaven, where none can be stolen, damaged, or kept back. Ooh, what a word. What a word this morning. And as we go to the Holy Spirit in us, what the Bible says. This is what Dr. Stanley tells us. He says, Ephesians 1:13-14 tells us, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. What a word to the praise of his glory. But did you know that we can short circuit the effective work of the Holy Spirit in our lives by grieving him? Paul wrote, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians 4:30. Don't grieve God. How do we grieve God? Grieve the Holy Spirit. It's a question. We grieve him when we disobey God's commandments. And when we choose to act in unrighteous ways, in other words, we displease the Lord when we know what to do and then choose to do the opposite. Bam. That's a tight and right word right there. I've been there. I've done what God said not to do and lost a car. Went left when God told me to go right. Felt go right. I'm like, but it's raining there. So what am I going to do? Go down here where all I have to do is turn right, and I'm where I need to be. Instead, I'm going to go left, go down the hill, go into what wound up being a flash flood to get to where I could have gone if I had just gone right. Come on now. God will mess you up when you are disobedient. And he will take what is already here. Because everything we have, everything we are, it all belongs to God. Ooh, thank you, Holy Spirit. My voice is smarter to come in. Praise the Lord. It says, how do we grieve the Holy Spirit? I said, we grieve him when we disobey God's commandments and when we choose to act in unrighteous ways. In other words, we just please the Lord when we know what to do and then choose to do the opposite. The Ephesians knew very well that it was not godly to lie, steal, remain angry with one another, or speak cutting or hurting words to give others. They knew that such evil things gave place to the devil. Did you hear that? Let me cut that back up there. When you lie, steal, remain angry with one another, or speak cutting, hurtful to each other. What did it say? They knew that such evil things give place to the devil. You're wondering why you're going through. You may have lied on somebody. You may have stolen from somebody. You may have remained angry. I am not talking to him for the rest of my life. I'm not talking to her for the rest of my life. I don't want to be bothered. I'm going to choose to do me. I don't want anything to do with them. Now, you done lied on them. You done stole from them. Speaking negative to them. You have been hateful and hurtful. And then you wonder why you go through. Because the devil has taken place in your life, and you've got to kick his sneaky snake self out. And that comes from apology, asking for forgiveness, to move forward. And since Paul lived and ministered among the Ephesians for 2 years, and his ministry had a powerful impact on the entire city of Ephesus, and yet Paul had to remind the Christians not to do the things common among the non-Christians. It was as if he had to go back to square one with them. When the Ephesians broke the most obvious of God's commandments, they caused sorrow in the Holy Spirit. Paul said, in effect, your ungodly behavior breaks the heart of God. The Holy Spirit is grieved not only because our conduct tarnishes God's good name, but also because he loves us and deeply desires toward us, blesses us, and good fruit produced in and through us, not discipline us. He knows that sin injures us and saddles our lives with negative consequences. When we know that our loved ones, do things that harm them, feel grief. So does he. When the things that others do to us, people that we love, they hurt us. They hurt our hearts. They hurt, just hurt us in general. It's something to forgive. It's something to feel like, wait a minute, why do they treat me this way? Why do they treat me like this? And you wonder, Lord, why? But you find out it grieves God when we do the things we do. And then it says this, how can we avoid grieving the Holy Spirit? We can choose to keep God's commandments, to lead a disciplined life by departing on the power of the Holy. When we sin, we confess the sin immediately. Lord, forgive me for whatever that sin may be. Confess it. Get it and open. Oh, thank you, Jesus. It just gets filled up when I think about the goodness of God. And it says this. I want to read it one more time. We can choose to keep God's commandment and to lead a disciplined life by depending on the power of the Spirit. When we sin, we confess the sin immediately and repent of it, changing our minds and our behavior to conform to God's word, as we ask the Holy Spirit to lead us and help us every day. We gain his help to enjoy successful Christian walks. He keeps our footing secure. In other words, he keeps us in our square. He keeps us in the light. And as we go to another life lesson, 1:18. Know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? There is a big difference between having the blessings of God and enjoying them. We move from the former to the latter by learning what those blessings are and then laying hold of them by faith. Know what your blessings are and hold on by faith. Ephesians 1:19. The exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. The disciples continually marveled at the overwhelming, powerful miracles that the Lord performed. That same power is available to us by faith through the Spirit. We can do miracles by faith. Hallelujah. Keep trusting God this morning. And as we go to chapter 2, it says this, and you, he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love in which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us. Woo! God made me. God made you in his image. And it says, set together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us, Christ Jesus, for the grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, as anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise. Everything in. And the strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope without Christ in the world, but now in Jesus Christ, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. Who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Oh, God, thank you. I'm just feeling it. I'm just feeling his presence. And I'll just say it. Thank you, Jesus. And I want to read verse 13 one more time. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You have been grafted in family. We are grafted in to his body. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is the law of commandments contained in ordinance, so as to create himself. new man from the two, thus making peace, God, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the Christ, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are far off and to those who are near. But through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the Spirit and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. I want to say it again. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for the dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Can you tell God, thank you this morning? Can you tell God, I praise you this morning? Can you just tell God, you are awesome and you are mighty? And the question for life today is this: how can I develop a better self-image? On yesterday, that was one of the things she talked about, depression and stress. You create stress in your body and you start asking those kind of questions. We've got to have what God has given us. And Dr. Stanley, being of an age, goes back to when he was younger. He says, on April 12, 1945, U.S. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt was sitting for a portrait when he died suddenly of a cerebral hemorrhage. The unfinished portrait, as it is called, remains on its easel, looking out on the world much as it did when artist Elizabeth Schumacher laid her brush on the side of the canvas. Whew, I got to read that again. And it says, the unfinished portrait, that's what it's called, as it is called, remains on its easel, looking out on the world much as it did when artist Elizabeth Schumacher laid her brush down at the site President collapsed. That would be difficult. You're just painting a picture, and all of a sudden the person you're painting just falls over dead. That would be devastating. Oh, and I'm sorry. The person who falls over dead just happens to be the president of the United States. What can you say? Even though you had nothing to do with his death, that would be so hard. And it says the watercolor likeness of the president shows a man of inner strength and calm. The top photograph taken days before and placed alongside the artist's canvas for reference, however, reveal a much different view. And then we see a national leader worn emotionally and physically from the political load he bore. Ooh, what a word. This is Lady, later Madam Schumacher, returned to her work on the president's portrait. She did not choose to complete the watercolor. However, she saw it as complete in its own right. Instead, she began and finished a new portrait, painted in oil. It is a handsome rendering of a strong and confident President Roosevelt with no visible flaws. Have you ever wondered how God views your life? Do you worry that he sees your flaws and mistakes and loves you less? Do not worry. God knows you perfectly and loves you completely just the way you are. You are his masterpiece, his workmanship of grace and love. He worked his work of art. He continues to paint the colors of your life in such a way that you will glorify him. Apostle Paul tells us we are his workmanship, created in God, in Christ Jesus, for good works which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. By God's loving grace, we are created in the image of Christ. Though our lives remain on the canvas, Jesus, God has seen the finished portrait. His eternal eyes know exactly what we need, what we need. God knows exactly what we need. His greatest attention, every frustration, every disappointment, and every joy has a purpose. Many find this a hard concept to grasp. They see their lives as incomplete, much like the unfinished portrait of President Roosevelt. But God views you from a different, a totally different perspective. What a great word. We are God's masterpiece. God rejoices over you, though he knows you are not yet what you will be when you step into the eternal presence of God. Until that time, God is patiently molding and shaping your life into the image of his Son. We are so blessed. And it says, the Spirit who now works sons of disobedience, and that's Ephesians 2:2, as the prince of the power of the air. We know that's the devil. Satan is not limited to the surface of the earth, and so can move quickly to try to prevent unbelievers from coming to faith. Yet he is no match for the Holy Spirit. Oh, the enemy will try to stop a move of God, but the one thing he still has not gotten, there is only one God, and he is the one in charge of everything. And in Ephesians 2:8-9, it says, by grace you have been saved through faith. Salvation is a gift of God, presented free and not in exchange for anything when we place our faith in Christ. It therefore magnifies God alone, since his blessings are not of his help. We've got to bless the Lord at all times. His praises should continually be in our mouth. We've got to give thanks and tell God, thank you. In Ephesians 2:13, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Wow. In Ephesians 2:13, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. God created you to enjoy an intimate relationship with himself, and he redeemed you and saved you for the same reason. He yearns for close fellowship with you and makes that possible through the death of his Son. God wants a relationship with us. He wants us to know that we are loved. We are loved by the Father. We are loved by the Son. We are loved by the Holy Spirit. We walk in love. Ephesians 3:3, it says, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you. Whew. What can we say? And I just want to say it again. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you, revelation. He made known to me the mystery as I have briefly written already, about which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of church, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ. It says, through the gospel of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given me by the effective working of his power to me, who am less than the least of all the saints. This grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith to him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. He said, don't look at me. Don't look at me. Look how I'm working this miracle. Look at how you can. What a word. And it goes on to say, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might. Oh, his spirit in the inner mind, through his spirit in the inner mind, that Christ may dwell in your head. Let me go back there because I can't hardly see it. Get a little bit of light here. And I'm going to go back to verse 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes. Oh God, say thank you. And he tells us now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power and the work of him be glory. Wow, God, thank you. And I want to read it one more time. Now to him our benediction for this morning as we get ready to wrap up. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Thanking God again for another day and for his grace. And I do apologize up front because I know that I am tired this morning. And I know that I have probably not been the best of hosts because I've had pauses body is trying to go back to sleep, but not today, Satan. We don't get through the word of God. We've got to let him know you have no power. This power belongs to God. And all I can say is thanking God this morning. Great words for yesterday and today. And it says this in yesterday's word. Good morning. Faith and love are the keys of it. Ooh, what a word is that, right? Faith and love are the keys to victory in every situation. What a word, thank you, God. And for this morning, he who keeps the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Proverbs 16:20. Have a blessed Sunday, family. Have a blessed Sunday. Find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. What a word. Thank you, Sister Carolyn. Thank you, everybody, for listening in this morning. Thank you for dealing with your sleepy host. I appreciate you. I thank God for you. And as I get ready to wrap up, I say to you, may the Lord watch over you as well and keep you in your trust. Thanking God for his grace and his mercy, his love and his kindness. And thanking him for all of you who listen to me later. For those that call in now and later, I thank you all. Father God in heaven, we thank you for another day. We thank you for bringing us through this broadcast. We thank you for your grace and your mercy toward each and every one of us. And so, Father God, as we depart, I pray, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' precious and holy name, I pray over each of you. I pray over you. I pray over you. In Jesus' name, we pray, thanking God for another day. So thanking God for this day that he has made and telling you right now, it is a wrap because your host is going back to sleep because it's just 6 in the morning where she is. But I tell you, please find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church and go to church today. I'm believing God on mighty things that he can and can do. In Jesus' name. Thanking God for all of you, family. I like to tell you right now, it's a wrap. I'm going back to sleep. And I pray you have a great day. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap. Join Mother Valerie and I tomorrow morning as we wrap it up. Keep me and all those that travel within your prayers as we fly home tomorrow. Thank you so much for your prayers. Thank you for the blessings that you have given us. Just thank you. And thank you, God, for everything in our lives, for waking us up this morning, even when we were good and sleepy. God woke me up, and I'm thankful. So, again, family, it's a wrap. Time for y'all to go to church. I don't go for another 3 hours, maybe 4. Anyway, be blessed. It's enough.